views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
AM, the Internet, and beyond. Keeping you informed every step of the way. Don't be left behind. You are listening to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show.
Tuesday, November 18th, 2014, 104. Since being in the YNTS studio, currently airing live on It's Your Radio, Route 1 Radio, Best App the Dark, Transformation Talk Radio, WBOQ AM 1230, and audio graded 24/7 very soon, iTunes, Podomatic, Spreaker, and Blog Talk. www.yoandrewnts.com for more info. Our toll-free number, 646-564-9929. Tweet me at Andrew Tweet Geo. Email yoandrew@yoandrewntf.com. yoandrewnts.com is the website. Don't be left behind. Sharon Gilbert on my phone line next, speaking about Ebola outbreak. Top of the second hour. Thank you for being with me. I really appreciate it. Hope everything is going well. We had some laughs the first hour, and we did have a serious conversation. And I hope many of you are still a part of it. I know you're probably by your computers looking at all the leaked shopping circulars that are out. You know what? I don't know why I didn't bring that up the first hour. You know, that would have been a great conversation. Right? It would have been. Howard Forrest, my phone screener, my father, spectating as always, Teddy Giordano, and I am your host, Yo Andrew. Welcome to the program. If you remember when I mentioned when the election rolled around, Ebola, the issue suddenly disappeared. Now it's starting to creep back again, yet we really aren't taking it seriously. I don't really think we are. I don't think we are from the get-go. And then we just saw Dr. Martin Satsalaya, who is a surgeon who just died. I didn't really see any loud cries for that either. So I really want to get to know what is the latest on this, and are, you know, should we be looking at the long run? Joining me on my phone line, writer, author, and co-host with her husband on PID Radio. She has wrote the novel Ebola and the Fourth Horseman of the Apocalypse. Check her out. Her website, www.sharonkgilbert.com. Sharon Gilbert on my phone line. Sharon, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
Sharon, I want to begin the conversation with this. What can you say is the latest in the Ebola outbreak? Around the election, I really felt it disappeared from the news. It kind of faded away. But now I think it's coming back. Can you give us the latest?
Well, I think your senses are right. It is coming back. We're seeing, of course, the very sad story about Dr. Martin Salia, who arrived here. I hear a little echo, so I hope that's not on my end.
No.
That happens with Skype every once in a while.
I don't hear.
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah. I can hear probably fine.
I'll just talk faster. Don't worry about it. We've seen a story about Dr. Salia, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but when he was serving in Sierra Leone, he began to exhibit symptoms as early as November 6th. He was tested twice for Ebola and came out negative twice. And then finally, on November 10th, he was tested again, and this time tested positive. It took several more days before he arrived in the United States on November 15th, and he died the next day. I have to wonder why the delay.
Is it the delay on our end or that part of the conversation?
No. The delay on getting him.
Request. Okay.
So not the delay in the echo.
No.
I'm talking about Dr. Scalia. There was this time lag between the time that he actually tested positive until they actually got him to the United States. He was in kidney failure by the time he got here.
And I agree, Sharon, because I think that's one of the reasons why there really is no outcries for this surgeon who passed away, because when he got here, he was already in extremely critical condition that there really was nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, that's really sad. The people in Omaha, I know, must feel horrible about it because, honestly, those are wonderful frontline physicians and healthcare workers who have learned how to deal with the Ebola virus. They've become rather expert in a very short period of time. They were ready for him to arrive, but for whatever reason, there was a delay in getting him here. And it may have actually been because he could not. He was actually on the hook for paying for it himself.
So did he have any insurance? Because I know that there are many who have been ill from Ebola and now have overcome it. They've had insurance, and Bloomberg reported a few weeks back that their insurance would cover this. So I'm guessing this surgeon just didn't have that type of insurance, or there was more to it.
Well, I'm honestly not sure what kind of insurance Bloomberg is reporting on. So far, the healthcare workers, the doctors, and the journalists have had either their own organizations or the actual government entities like the CDC or Samaritan's Purse organization that foot the bill for the various the transport from West Africa, the hospitalization, the cost. I mean, the hospital in Omaha announced today that they've lost about $1.2 million in caring for Ebola patients, and they're hoping that the federal government will step in and help out. This man, Dr. Scalia, was an OBGYN surgeon in Sierra Leone. He was a native from that country, but he had been living in Maryland, and so for whatever reason, he contracted the disease. He was not supposedly exposed to it directly. So the question is, how did he get it? The hospital where he was working with patients never really reported an Ebola patient in their hospital. So what patient did he work on? What delivering mother? What miscarriage or whatever? Because a lot of pregnant women who contract Ebola miscarry, and it may not be obvious to the doctor who's taking care of them what they're dealing with until he's up to his elbows in blood. He's sick.
Sharon, do you believe that if this surgeon got this a few weeks earlier, when the news was really on the issue, and you saw the doctor who came into New York City, and you know we had the whole conference, if that happened a few weeks earlier, would have we treated his situation a lot differently?
You know, it's really hard to answer that question. It's possible that it would have been treated differently. It's certainly been reported in the mainstream media, I think, differently than the initial cases were. Seeing less and less in the mainstream media, even though, as with this case, we've seen a little bit of a resurgence. But I look at Ebola stories all day long, every day. So I'm probably seeing a lot of things that no one else is seeing or very few others are seeing regarding what's going on in West Africa and the many cases here in the United States. In fact, there was a case that I just reported on, a case where a man presenting here in the United States with symptoms, and it was agreed that he would not receive an Ebola test, even though he said he'd come here from West Africa and he had Ebola-type symptoms. The hospital said, no, we're not going to test him. It was just about an hour ago that they changed their minds and said, oh, okay, we will test him.
Right now we are speaking with Sharon Gilbert, writer, author, and co-host with her husband on PID Radio. She also wrote the novel Ebola and the Fourth Horseman of the Apocalypse. Check out our website, SharonKGilbert.com. You wrote a novel, Ebola and the Fourth Horseman of the Apocalypse. When you created the title, What are you trying to tell the audience? Your readers.
Well, first of all, it's not a novel. It's actually nonfiction.
Okay.
And it shows that title is because I have been doing a series of presentations at various Christian places about the fourth horseman apocalypse. And I discovered that one of the weapons given to him in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, is something called Arion, which translates tiny beast. And it occurred to me a couple of years ago that maybe these tiny beasts are actually viruses, the microscopic pathogen. And so when Ebola, which I've been watching Ebola for probably 5 years, I started paying attention.
Many diseases every year comes and goes. There's always that one illness that every news outlet somehow takes and reports on. And many Americans, because of that, believes that it overblows things. Should we consider Ebola the same issue? Or we should be taking it as a serious issue?
Well, it's very possible that a lot of people are thinking the same thing, because we saw H1N1 blown, we saw various kind of sort of disease a year, and oftentimes the adjunct is, okay, we're going to warn you about this disease, now go take a flu shot. It's almost all at the end of the conversation. Get that influenza vaccine in there. I know that some vaccines in the work of Ebola, so that may actually be one of the things that we need to pay the most attention to. The Affordable Care Act, it's very possible that a lot of people who have insurance now that did not have 2 years ago, and the same people may be required to take a vaccine when it's available.
So you're saying that under the Affordable Care Act, Patient Protection Act, this law that was passed now requires who now receives insurance under these, on the exchanges, they are required to take some type of vaccine if a illness like, for example, Ebola outbreaks like this.
I'd say it's very possible. That is a very lengthy document. I think it was like 5,000 pages or something, and getting longer. It's very possible that if an epidemic broke out of any pathogen here in the United States, and there were a vaccine to that, then it's possible that the same pattern that was done in the smallpox epidemic, called the ring vaccination, they take area that's a hot zone, they sort of leave those people to die. It's terrible. And then they do a ring vaccination like a firebrand around the city. So the prayer is that people outside that ring vaccination will not get sick because of the firebrand. So in that area, then they'll be required to take a vaccine.
I mean, I'm not surprised. We know that the pharmaceutical companies probably have a lot of involvement in the Affordable Care Act, and they know that when an outbreak does come out, that the first thing you start seeing tons of vaccinations and medications start being tested rapidly, and then someone's got to make money out of it, especially where everyone's getting worried, everyone's getting nervous, and the news is really focused on the illness itself. So I'm not surprised if we see a lot of vaccines now coming out and take this, take that, and hope to God, Sharon, that no one gets hurt by it.
Well, that's what my prayer is. You know, honestly, there, as I've been doing interviews for this, some people are, it all dies down. And my answer is great. I would be so happy if next year everybody looks at this book and says, well, that blew over.
I know, right? I hope so. But I also hope that we'll be able to learn from it. I don't think we are. I don't think we're going to, because I think that we get so distracted by some type of citizenship reporting where someone on Reddit is telling someone why you should not take the Ebola outbreak seriously and why in the United States we're somehow more shielded than others in Africa. I just don't like that. I feel, you know, it is an illness. It can easily outspread, and we should be taking it seriously, Sharon.
I so agree with you. And one of the reasons that I wrote the book, you know, the title reflects the researching at the time, but the majority of the book is really trying to explain how evil the body, what happens, what precautions you can take. And in the event of an actual pandemic in the United States, when you might be told, don't go out, stay home, I have a whole list of things you can do to prepare your home for that event.
Sharon Gilbert on my phone line, writer, author, and co-host with her husband on PID Radio. She has wrote the nonfiction Ebola and the Fourth Horseman of Apocalypse. Check her out on our website, www.sharonkgilbert.com. Sharon, I saw on your website that you are taking pre-orders for your book, but I already seen one 5-star rating. Yeah, yeah.
You can actually order now.
Okay, awesome.
On the 15th.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
I need to update that.
Yeah, because I saw on Amazon someone already read it. They already gave a 5-star rating. And I said to myself, well, you know what? I'm guessing this book is out, so my audience can start getting it right now.
Yeah. In fact, there were people that said they pre-ordered it, and they got it before the 15th.
Perfect. You know what? The more reading, the better, right?
What I think.
Sharon Gilbert, writer, author, co-host with her husband on PID Radio. Now you could order and read her new book, Ebola and the Fourth Horseman of the Apocalypse. Check her out on our website. Great place to also order the book, www.sharonkgilbert.com. Sharon, thanks for coming on the program. Hope to speak to you soon. Have a great holiday.
It's been super. Thank you very much for having me.
I'll see you later, Sharon.
Bye-bye.
Sharon Gilbert, really interesting conversation on Ebola, where we are now. And again, I think she brought up a great perspective on Ebola, on why this particular Ebola case took so long compared to others. And I, of course, threw out that point of, well, no one's taking it seriously. They weren't taking it seriously then. They're not taking it now. But are we taking it seriously? That's my question for you. 646-564-9929. That's the phone number. Call me up. Call Yo Andrew. That's me right now at 646-564-9929.
Listen to all the interviews off the air at www.yoandrewnts.com/interviews.
Geico presents Fan Mail to a Pig.
Dear Maxwell, first off, hope you are well. And I am. Seems like all you do is promote Geico's web and app abilities. And while I really enjoyed your last commercial where you talked about how I could take a photo of my VIN number and add it to my account all via my Geico app, I've got to think it doesn't leave you much time for anything else. Do tell. Sincerely, Miranda Morgan. Well, Miranda, thank you for asking. And this Geico spokespig does have time to do other things. For instance, I do a lot of
VIN scanning to add a car. Just a tap away on the Geico app.
You wanted to be a teacher when you were little. But as you grew up, things changed. Teaching just didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you decided to become something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Interesting and innovative things are happening in teaching today. So it's time to put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The traditional light bulb. A groundbreaking invention in 1879. It's time we switch to longer-lasting Energy Star light bulbs. They're more efficient than the old bulbs, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Yo Andrew News Talk Show. Every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info how to listen from anywhere? www.yoandrewnts.com.
Sticking with a trend can be very hard, especially for your feet. You wear those Converse for all those years, and before you know it, your feet is bigger than the shoe itself. How about take care of your feet and get expert advice with our friend Dr. Howard Dinowitz, who owns a podiatry practice right here in the Brooklyn and Staten Island area. He treats foot and ankle deformities, sports and walking problems, diabetic feet, injuries and wounds, and many more. Don't be left behind. I want you to go and stop by my friend Dr. Howard Dinowitz if you're ever in the area, or give him a call at his Brooklyn location, 718-627-1212, or his Staten Island location, 718-720-4848. Don't wait. Your feet needs the care, and why not do it right now? And if you go right now, they might thank you for it.
Taking a picture is easy, and we love to know where you are listening. Instagram us today at YoAndrewNTS.
I tried everything. The weight pills, the gym subscriptions, monthly weight programs. Nothing worked for me and my body. Then a friend came up to me with a DVD. She said it's Leslie Sansone's Walk at Home program, an indoor walk at home program used in thousands of homes for over 25 years. The only thing I needed was a DVD player and a pair of walking shoes. So I put in the DVD and began walking. It was amazing how easy it was, and I had control over the workout. After doing her simple mile or 2 mile workout 3 times a week for just 30 minutes a day, I saw the weight being lost for the first time. And now I feel great because I walked away the pounds with Leslie. You can purchase many easy walking workouts by visiting walkathome.com or call toll free at 888-890-8805. That's 888-890-8805. Be a part of the walking movement by following Leslie on Twitter at Leslie Walks or Facebook.com/Leslie Sansone. Do what I did. Walk away the pounds with Leslie Sansone's Walk at Home program.
Always on the run? We know how you feel. Listen to Yo Andrew on your iPhone, iPad, Android, or Android tablets. Go to www.yoandrewnts.com for more info.
So we actually just got an email from our guest, Sharon, and she says, "Thank you, Andrew, for allowing me to join you this evening. You are a gracious and informed host, and you made me feel very welcome. May the Lord bless your career and guide your footsteps. All the best, Sharon." Thanks, Sharon. Really appreciate the compliment. There's always room for a compliment on this program, and we hope we can have her on. She really was nice. I mean, I know we were kind of in and out throughout, but I think we got the message out, and I think it was a great conversation. I mean, everyone brings out the issue of Ebola differently, but you know me. I've been really focusing on how serious we are taking it, and we're not. Because we are being sidetracked by other issues, we're being sidetracked by people who are not experts in this field, or have not been studying this illness, and they think by one article at Salon.com they know it all. They don't. Call me up, 646-564-9929. Tweet me at Andrew Trigio, Facebook.com/YoAndrewNTS. Email me, spell it right, YoAndrew at YoAndrewNTS.com. People are not taking this seriously until it happens to them. It's that simple. Everyone's being selfish. I want to be safe than sorry. I said this a few weeks ago. I'll say it again. Guess what? Next Wednesday is the busiest travel time of the year. Hundreds of Americans are flying in for Thanksgiving. Many are flying from out of state, out of country, out of continent. If you know someone that lives on the moon, they might be coming in too. They're all coming in. And you have no idea who they got in contact with. You don't know. I don't know who Joe Schmo is until he comes in. Yeah, guess what? I decided that I'm going to travel to Africa and help these people. And that's great. There is nothing wrong with someone helping someone else. I personally, I don't think I'll be able to do something like that, so I'll do it behind the mic. I'll do it in a way that I know how to do it, by informing people. But if you feel you can physically be in contact with these people and help them in that matter, I am right behind you. And if I see that the money will go into a place that will help them in the long run, especially with the illness, I will donate. Here's my money. I'm going to borrow it from the lawyer from the first hour. So that's what it comes down to. Really does. And that is, Ebola is a serious issue, if you like it or not. All right. Okay. Instead of you going on your blog or your news, whatever platform you have, instead of trying to be the smart one, wow, Ebola is being taken. It's being overblown. How about you take down the people who are throwing all the propaganda, who are throwing all the misinformation, where they have no background or expertise in the illness of Ebola. Knock down those people. Knock down those who are creating spams, who are trying to create money out of this illness. Because even though it's not that big, even though you think that the illness is, oh, it's nothing. Oh, someone's making something out of it. You heard my guest. Maybe the Affordable Care Act. Maybe it is. Again, I don't know. Maybe, again, she's right. It's such a big bill. There might be somewhere in there where, under the insurance, you are now mandated to take a vaccine. I'm not saying that's true or not. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? Again, that somehow becomes a political issue more than an actual health issue. The pharmaceutical companies will make money out of this. Go at them. Stop trying to be smart. Okay? There is a difference between someone being worried and someone being widely concerned. Let's try to stop that mix up too. Let's do that on this program. Let's stop being mixed up. Let's stop being concerned. Nah, let's stop being worried. Let's stop being concerned. We really have to sit down and stop this. It's a bad, bad habit, and it needs to stop. And it can. And it will. The only thing you have to do is be informed. The first thing to fix a problem is to address that there is one. Ebola is a serious illness. It can easily be widespread if we don't take it seriously. We should be concerned, not worried. We should be tackling down those who misbelieve, not try to attack those that maybe are just concerned and maybe want to tackle it by the source, the same way the president has said it. Maybe there's a politician out there who still cares about the American people, not about the piece of paper that gets him into the seat, or not by the candy machine that probably will have his name on it, only because he winked at them on one of the campaign trails. Come on. Enough of this. I mean, seriously, enough. I need some water. Enough of this already. I'm back at my mic. Here I am. Enough. We need to stop this. Because if we don't, it's gonna be like this. Now, I love this Twitter. When I posted our interview with Sharon, I seen... You know, you have all these Twitter accounts who, I don't know how they follow you, the old tweet bots, I don't know. This Twitter page started following me. They'll follow me for about 5 days, and then I'll suddenly leave. If they say, hey, look, I'm here, I follow them, then they unfollow me. But then they even out the end of it. It's a whole thing. It's a Twitter thing. You probably have no idea what I'm talking about if you don't have Twitter. This is the Twitter page, and I just, oh my, and during the break I'm reading this, and I said, oh, I'm so using this in my next segment because it's just going to just weigh in. It says, this is the banner, Ebola, Obama, Ebola. It has the Obama sign from his election, yet it has Ebola within the O's with a little American flag. And it says, at Ebola the virus, it's worse than Ebola. No, Ebola the virus, and that's the Twitter page, is worse than Ebola. Ebola is caused by people voting for Democrats, dead people voting too. Follow Ebola, it is better than catching it. What? Thank a Democrat. White House or a golf course? I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, I don't care if you want to vote against or for the Democrat. That's your... But come on. Because someone votes Democrat, they're causing Ebola? I mean, this is what's going on in America. Instead of educating people, informing people about the illness, tackling at the source, showing concerned Americans that we are behind them, we are creating Ebola as a political issue? Come on. We're creating a page accusing those who vote Democrat just because they believe one party is the reason for the Ebola debacle, where the Republicans probably have just as much blame? Are you kidding me? Are we seriously having this conversation? I think not. This is outrageous. If Twitter had a chance to look at their policies, they should take this down for stupidity. Now you're probably a liberal. Oh, please, stop calling me names. We're not five. You want to call me a name? My name's Joe Andrew, and I'm here to host. I'm here to give out a good program. I'm here to do it well, and that's what I do every week, and my friend Howard knows it. He puts on a good show, too. And I don't believe he should be name-called either. Or anyone out there who has any concern, because that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing out there on that Twitter page. You're not coming out and saying, oh, okay, you're not accusing the Democrats. You're accusing the ones who are concerned. Okay, there are Democrats out there who believe in middle class, who believe in a fair justice system, who believe in a balanced budget, who believes in bipartisanship, who believes in democracy, who believes in a free market, who believes in the 50 states, who believes in the right to vote. There are many Democrats out there. And yes, they do have their issues. They do have their ways. And just some of them are willing to give out their hand and saying, we got some ideas. You got some good ideas too. Let's work for the people. Let's put them together. But this propaganda of Ebola, a page that speaks about the Democrats causing it and no one else. How about the pharmaceutical companies? How about them? How about those in the media that we just mentioned? How about we have the nurse in Maine biking around thinking she's helping someone where you're just hurting your image and you're just looking like a selfish, you know, bonehead. But again, I don't want to start doing name calling because that'll be stooping down to Ebola's level. I don't want to do that. But this is the perfect example on how we're treating Ebola. By making it a political issue. By going on social network. A beautiful tool. Don't give me the whole, it starts trouble. Trouble. No. It only starts trouble if you make it start trouble. Social networks were created to give out information in such a way. It's simple enough. It's simple enough. That's what it does. But I don't believe that you should be wasting your time and making this a political issue. There is no doubt about it. And we should not be doing it that way. But Ebola is a trouble for the Democrats. Please. But again, I'm not going to report them to Twitter. No. And look, they're followed by newsbusters. Newsbusters, again, very conservative website. And I watch their videos. And I want to see the other side of politics. That's really where it is. I mean, if you don't like it, that's where it is. I mean, you don't like Fox News, you might as well look at Newsbusters or MCR or Newsmax or The Blaze, whatever that may be. Come on. Look. Ebola. The virus. is being followed by news sponsors. I mean, why would news sponsors, why would you stoop down to that level? It's not right to say. If you saw a page saying a Republican is causing Ebola, you'll go just as nuts. So why are you trying to switch it on them? You know where it's, we know where we should be tackling on. Let's do it. But let's stop wasting time. I mean, enough of this. Let's have a good Thanksgiving. Let's come together. Let's do something fun. What are you going to do? I'm wasting my time with Ebola the virus. Who makes these? Yeah, of course, they favored my tweet. And I can't even do anything about it. Can't do nothing. All right, they favored it. I don't like pages like that. I don't. Especially when it's associated with me. I don't believe Sharon that's what she was going about. I know Sharon, if she read that, she probably would be like, no. Just because she spoke about the Affordable Care Act, what does that mean? That Democrats caused this mess? No. She's saying because of what we're seeing, the Affordable Care Act might, there's something in there that might tell those who are insured to start taking vaccines. But that does not have anything to do with Democrats or the party or the people who are running it. I don't think so. Sound Clip of Wisdom up next. And we're going to be speaking, and that's how we're going to change courses here. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, great scene. We speak about it next. I'll be right behind. Call Yo Andrew, that's me, right now at 646-564-9929.
Listen to all the interviews off the air at www.yoandrewnts.com/interviews.
Geico presents Fan Mail to a Pig.
Dear Maxwell, first off, hope you are well. And I am. Seems like all you do is promote Geico's web and app abilities. And while I really enjoyed your last commercial where you talked about how I could take a photo of my VIN number and add it to my account all via my Geico app, I've got to think it doesn't leave you much time for anything else. Do tell. Sincerely, Miranda Morgan. Well, Miranda, thank you for asking. And this Geico spokespig does have time to do other things. For instance, I do a lot of
VIN scanning to add a car. Just a tap away on the Geico app.
You wanted to be a teacher when you were little. But as you grew up, things changed. Teaching just didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you decided to become something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Interesting and innovative things are happening in teaching today. So it's time to put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The traditional light bulb. A groundbreaking invention in 1879. It's time we switch to longer-lasting Energy Star light bulbs. They're more efficient than the old bulbs, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
I tried everything. The weight pills, the gym subscriptions, monthly weight programs. Nothing worked for me and my body. Then a friend came up to me with a DVD. She said it's Leslie Sansone's Walk at Home program, an indoor walk at home program used in thousands of homes for over 25 years. The only thing I needed was a DVD player and a pair of walking shoes. So I put in the DVD and began walking. It was amazing how easy it was, and I had control over the workout. After doing her simple mile or 2-mile workout 3 times a week for just 30 minutes, minutes a day, I saw the weight being lost for the first time. And now I feel great because I walked away the pounds with Leslie. You can purchase many easy walking workouts by visiting walkathome.com or call toll free at 888-890-8805. That's 888-890-8805. Be a part of the walking movement by following Leslie on Twitter at LeslieWalks or Facebook.com/LeslieSansone. Do what I did. Walk away the pounds with Leslie Sansone's Walk at Home program. Many ask what it is. Many ask where is a cure. Sadly, it's not easy. Endometriosis is a non-fatal cancer-like disease affecting 176 million women around the world that need your help. That's why Knockout Endo, an organization seeking nonprofit status, is continuing to fundraise and raise awareness for women with endometriosis. Check out our website, www.knockoutendo.com, to learn what we're doing to defeat this disease every day. Being informed will help you understand why donating is so important. You can help by purchasing items from our website or funding more commercials like these. Don't sit down, but get up to knock out endometriosis.
Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day.
You know, I learned a fun fact about Bing Crosby. Bing Crosby was never a singer. He was an actor. He was a late 30s into 40s actor. And when he went to the movie White Christmas and he came out with his Christmas album, that was his first album as an artist. We see that that was his first album. And it got, you know, so rewarded that, of course, he ended up having a career in singing. So that's one of the fun facts if you're a Bing Crosby fan out there. He was never meant to be an artist. He was solely an actor. And he came out with the Christmas album that you'll be hearing a lot of his Christmas songs throughout the holiday season. And, yeah. Look at that, he was a singer. Sound clip of wisdom. You know, it's so funny. Someone mentioned the other day, Andrew, what's a sound clip of wisdom? And I told them like this. Sound clip of wisdom is a sound clip we play to end off each and every program. It's a clip that gives out a message that the audience member can take with them. Speak with the mom, dad, brother, sister, doctor, son, David. Speak it with the lawyer. Speak it with anyone you can. And what it does, and you can have a conversation. It's also become more of a off-air segment where you're able to speak with me about it at the end of the show through our Facebook, Twitter, or email, even adopted from a quote. Tonight's sound clip of wisdom is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, not the one with Johnny Depp. We're talking about, oh yeah, the old one. And of course, you might have heard the "You Lose, Good Day, Sir," you know, the famous rant at the ending. Charlie then gives the, you know, the piece back to Willy Wonka and ends up, "You win, you won, you won the whole factory," and ends up flying away in the sky somewhere. Because apparently, when you do things, you get rewarded. Well, that's one of the lessons we'll talk about. Here it is. Right now, we see Willy Wonka writing on at his desk. The grandpa comes up to him and wondering, Charlie won. He won the competition. He is now, should be rewarded some chocolate. Here it is. Chocolate wisdom.
Mr. Wonka?
I am extraordinarily busy, sir.
I just wanted to ask about the chocolate. Mr. Wonka?
I am extraordinarily busy, sir.
I just wanted to ask about the chocolate. The lifetime supply of chocolate for Charlie. Well, when does he get it?
He doesn't.
Why not?
Because he broke the rules.
What rules? We didn't see any rules, did we, Charlie?
Wrong, sir. Wrong. Under Section 37B of the contract signed by him, it states quite clearly that all offers shall become null and void if, and you can read it for yourself in this photostatic copy, I, the undersigned, shall forfeit all rights, privileges, and licenses herein and herein contained, etc., etc., fax mentis incendium gloria culpum, etc., etc., memo bis punitor delicatum. It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You stole fizzy lifting drinks. You bumped into the ceiling, which now has to be washed and sterilized, so you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
You're a crook. You're a cheat and a swindler. That's what you are. How can you do a thing like this? Build up a little boy's hopes and then smash all his dreams to pieces. You're an inhuman monster!
I said good day!
Come on, Charlie. Let's get out of here.
I'll get even with him if it's the last thing I ever do.
Slugworth wants a gobstopper. He'll get one.
Mr. Wonka?
So shines a good deed in a weary world.
Charlie.
My boy.
You won! You did it! You did it! I knew you would! I just knew you would! Oh, Charlie, forgive me for putting you through this. Please forgive me. Come in, Mr. Wilkinson. Charlie, meet Mr. Wilkinson.
Pleasure.
Slugworth!
No, no, that's not Slugworth. He works for me.
For you?
I had to test you, Charlie, and you passed the test. You won!
What won?
The jackpot, my dear sir. The grand and glorious jackpot.
The chocolate?
The chocolate, yes, the chocolate. But that's just the beginning. We have to get on, we have to get on. We have so much time and so little to do. Strike that. Reverse it. This way, please.
There is so much that we can talk about. This might be one of the most interesting Sound Clip of Wisdoms I've ever aired. Let's look at the scene first. And we really don't look at the scene much with the Sound Clip of Wisdom. We really try to take the message out of it. In this situation, let's look at the scene. The grandpa comes to Willy Wonka, wants to know, Charlie did it, he did the challenge, he won the whole unlimited amount of chocolate. He says no because of what you signed. And do you hear what he says? It says right here, blah, 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 etc., etc. Do you know what et cetera means? That means, okay, that's a bunch of information that we don't want to hear about, but we're going to move on from it. Et cetera, et cetera. And then he starts speaking Latin. So you're first sitting there as the listener, or in as an audience member, if you're watching the movie, and you're watching this scene, and you're saying, are we supposed to laugh at this scene? Or are we supposed to learn something from this scene? Because Willy Wonka takes out the contract that supposedly Charlie signed while entering this competition. Says a few words, etc., etc. This is not important. Speaks some Latin. I don't speak Latin, so I don't know what that means. But you have to remember, though, this wasn't based in the United States. It was based somewhere else. So maybe that was the language he spoke. So he's sitting there ranting and yelling. And you're sitting there, and am I supposed to laugh at this? Or am I supposed to take it? Take it as it comes to me. Fun fact about this. Do you know, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I've read it somewhere. When they did this scene in the movie and Willy Wonka was yelling at Charlie, supposedly the actor who played Charlie didn't know he was going to be screamed at. So he's sitting there in pure shock, not knowing how to react because, well, no one told me that he was going to yell at me like this. Now, let's move forward into the scene. The grandpa says, you're a monster, you're a fraud, you're a greedy, you know, we thought you were different. Makes sense, because after everything that's happened, he suddenly betrays everything that we all thought he believed in. While they're ready to leave, Charlie gives back the gobstopper, that piece of candy that was created early in the movie, and puts it on his desk. And then you heard Willy Wonka say these words, so shines a good deed in a weary world. That there is still some, the world might be a little crazy, The world might not have many good people, but there's some out there. And Willy Wonka, when then he comes out and says, this is all a test. You win. I knew you can do it. There's something about you. I've been watching you. You are the man that I want to run my company. You are someone that I feel won't take this company and abuse it the way others have. You won't see it as a business perspective, but you'll see it because you love it. You see it. You wouldn't open on Thanksgiving Day next week because you know that's the right thing to do. How much competition is out there? How many people want to come? Doesn't matter. You're different. I seen that. I want to give this to you. We seen that of all the children that were selfish and that cared about themselves, it was always Charlie who stood in front of the crowd. And when he gave that gobstopper and put it on Willy Wonka's desk, Willy Wonka knew. After testing him the whole time, I knew he could do it. There's not that many people that would give this back to me, but he did. He did because he realized that's not important. It was never about the gobstopper. It was never about getting free things. It was about just being interested. Just being a little interesting. That's all it was about. All it was. And many people wouldn't have done it. But he did. It's that simple. Of course, he did go off the course. And he did take a drink. The fizzy, lifty drinks. And he went up to the fan. And of course, he made a mistake. We all do. And he knew that. He knew he didn't deserve to win. And that's another message we take from this clip. He knew, I know I didn't deserve to win. I know it broke your heart. I know somehow you might have been watching me, and I deserve it. And I don't deserve the candy. There's someone out there who would be angry, just like his grandpa, and storm out the door, not realizing that there is so much more. That, yes, you could be angry, but by the end of the day, I know what I did. And sometimes that's all we want from people, right? We all want someone to admit when they've done wrong and learn from their mistakes. That's all we want. That's all we need. So I feel there was a lot coming from this clip. It was about how Willy Wonka tested him because he knew I can't choose anyone to run my factory. I need someone who loves chocolate, someone who won't get caught up in his head about money and about the business. What's best for business is what's best for the customer and what's best for chocolate, the primary source, the primary selling point that they're going about. He saw that. That's what this clip shows. It also shows that even though he did something wrong, he realizes that. And he proved to Willy Wonka, I don't deserve this. Yet, it also proved that there are good people sometimes. Well, there are good people left sometimes. Sometimes people think, oh, there's not everyone's bad in their own ways, but there's some who are good. And I think we could definitely relate this clip to so many, especially the holiday season. That's all you're going to say. And we can go on and on about this clip. There's so many more lessons, but we really want to stick with some of those. And we want you to take it with you. Speak about it with someone, if you dare. Want to thank my mom, my dad, my brother. Love you. Thank you. Howard Forrest, our phone screener, being very patient. Always a pleasure. Want to thank all my affiliates that allows us to air every Tuesday night. And soon, those companies who will give us opportunity 24/7, who allows us to air our program when we're off the air. Sharon Gilbert, our guest during the second hour, speaking about Ebola and her new book that you could order. Ebola and, oh God, we have right here, actually. And you can order her book on Sharon K. You know, I I had all of it right here. Yeah. SharonKGilbert.com. You can order her book, Ebola and the Fourth Horseman of the Apocalypse. You can order that if you want to. It would be a nice read this holiday season. You can go out, you can do that. And I want to thank you, the audience. You keep me coming every week, and I thank you for it. Next week, I will be I'll be somewhere else. But again, you'll be able to hear some of our great interviews throughout the last several months, and you'll also be able to hear some favorites that we chose. And we hope everyone has a happy Thanksgiving. If you choose to shop, shop wisely, because again, there might be someone coming at you, spitting in your face, and I advise you, use your mouth before you use your hands and objects. Don't be left behind. See you next, 2 weeks. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yo Andrew News Talk Show. Every day night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info how to listen from anywhere? www.yoandrewnts.com.
Geico presents Fan Mail to a Pig.
Dear Maxwell, first off, hope you are well. And I am. Seems like all you do is promote Geico's web and app abilities. And while I really enjoyed your last commercial where you talked about how I could take a photo of my VIN number and add it to my account all via my Geico app, I've got to think it doesn't leave you much time for anything else. Do tell. Sincerely, Miranda Morgan. Well, Miranda, thank you for asking. And this Geico spokespig does have time to do other things. For instance, I do a lot of
VIN scanning to add a car. Just a tap away on the Geico app.
You wanted to be a teacher when you were little. But as you grew up, things changed. Teaching just didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you decided to become something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Interesting and innovative things are happening in teaching today. So it's time to put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. It's time we switch to longer-lasting Energy Star light bulbs. They're more efficient than the old bulbs, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Yo Andrew News Talk Show. Every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info how to listen from anywhere? www.yoandrewnts.com.
Sticking with a trend can be very hard, especially for your feet. You wear those Converse for all those years, and before you know it, your feet is bigger than the shoe itself. How about take care of your feet and get expert advice with our friend Dr. Howard Dinowitz, who owns a podiatry practice right here in the Brooklyn and Staten Island area. He treats foot and ankle deformities, sports and walking problems, diabetic feet, injuries and wounds, and many more. Don't be left behind. I want you to go and stop by my friend Dr. Howard Dinowitz if you're ever in the area, or give him a call at his Brooklyn location, 718-627-1212, or his Staten Island location, 718-720-4848. Don't wait. Your feet needs the care, and why not do it right now? And if you go right now, they might thank you for it.
Taking a picture is easy, and we love to know where you are listening. Instagram us today at YoAndrewNTS.
Called the Oprah of Radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's THEDRPatshow.com for listening times in your area.